الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه تعالى باب قول الله تعالى The chapter with regards to the statement of Allah the Most High فلما آتاهما صالحا جعل له شركاء فيما آتاهما الآية Al-Ayah, and the verse continues, فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ The author, he mentioned the verse, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whenever Allah provided them, either the male and the female, whenever Allah provided them with a child, with a healthy and good child, then they set up rivals and partners with him in that which Allah had given them. And then they set up partners and rivals with Allah in that which Allah had given them. We continue reading in the portion of the work where the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, is clarifying the obligation of having the proper manners and etiquettes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is from the completion and the perfection of the obligation of it, tawheed. And from that, the ascription of the blessings. And even in the statements, they must be correct in accordance with the creed and not in contradiction to that, from ascribing the blessings and the bounties and the good that occurs and the likes like this, even if a person, he did not intend that. He must rectify the expressions that he uses. And from that, this affair here, and what is intended from this chapter is the issue of naming the children. The issue of naming the children, and that it is impermissible to name the children Abd something, or Abd so-and-so, any besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Abd al-Nabi, or Abd al-Ka'ba, and the likes like this. You need to have this name, even if a person, he did not intend the ubudiyah of worship and love and the likes. Even if he did not intend that, he just intended service, or he intended honor and respect and the likes like this. This is still impermissible. It's still not allowed. Still not allowed to name a child Abdul Nabi or Abdul Ka'ba or the likes like this, or any other name other than the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, if it's going to be from al-asma al-mu'abbada or al-ta'bid, al-ta'bidu yikunu lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. These names that have the word abd in them, it is only allowed to have that name for Allah azza wa jal. That you say, or you call the child abdullah, or abdul kareem, or abdul wahhab, or abdul sami'. And the likes like this, in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for Abdul Nabi or Abdul Ka'ba, or other than that, from those names, or Abdul Amr or Abdul Umar, and the likes like this, all of this is not allowed. Abdul Shams, so on and so forth. All of this is not allowed to name the child this name, even if a person, he did not intend that. And that he was naming him as the slave, for example, of the Prophet, that he is the slave of the Prophet, meaning that he worships the Prophet besides Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he intended that, then no doubt this is major shirk. But even if he didn't intend that, and he just wanted to honor or show respect in this manner, and service and help for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is not allowed. This is not allowed. So the names, they must be proper. And this is from the right of the child upon the parent, that it would choose a proper name and a good name and a name that has a meaning and a name that is beneficial and well-known. And the likes like this from the names of the righteous, beginning with the prophets and messengers, and likewise the companions and the scholars of hadith, so on and so forth, the beneficial names that are well-known, that have good meanings. So here, this is the chapter. So the verse that the author is referring to, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمَا صَالِحًا جَعَلَ لَهُ شُرَكَاءَ فِيمَا آتَاهُمَا فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ So the The verse before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, and He says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. That it is Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who has created you from one soul, meaning Adam alayhi salam. And He has made from him, or from that soul, his spouse, so that he can find peace and tranquility and ease and stability with her. لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا فَلَمَّا تَغَشَّاهَا حَمَلَتْ حَمْلًا خَفِيفًا فَمَرَّتْ بِهِ فَلَمَّا أَثْقَلَتْ دَعَوَ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُمَا لَإِنْ آتَيْتَنَا صَالِحًا لَنَكُنَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And whenever he had relations with her, and she became pregnant with a light load, and this is the case in the beginning of the pregnancy, and then some time passed until it became heavy, meaning that the child is forming in the womb, and now it becomes heavy in the end of the pregnancy. At this time, they called on their Lord and they said, if you provide for us salihan, meaning a healthy and a good child, and he salihan, healthy, and likewise righteous, and likewise righteous, and he healthy in its body and in its and in its health, and good in its physical appearance and the likes like that, and also righteous. لَنَكُنَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ, that indeed will be from those who show thanks. Then the next verse is mentioned here, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمَا صَالِحًا جَعَلَا لَهُ شُرَكَاءَ فِي مَا آتَاهُمَا فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. And whenever he provided for them a healthy and righteous child, then they set up rivals with Allah from that, or by way of that, that which He has provided them. So glorified and high and lofty is Allah above those that they associate partners with. So the author, he says, Qari Ibn Hazm, he mentioned, rahimahullah, he's from the scholars of, he's from the early scholars, Muhammad, he's Abu Muhammad Ibn Hazm, he died in the year 456. He said, اتفقوا على تحريم كل اسم مؤبد لغير الله كعبد عمر وعبد الكعبة وما أشبه ذلك حاشا عبد المطلب. So Ibn Hazm, he mentioned that the scholars, they have an agreement that it is impermissible every name that has the name Abd for other than Allah, every name that has the name Abd for other than Allah, like Abd Amr and Abd al-Kaaba, and that which is similar to that, then they have agreed that this is haram and impermissible, except for Abd al-Muttalib, meaning there's a difference of opinion about that. Not meaning that they agree that that's allowed, but rather there's a difference of opinion specifically about that name, and being that it may be permissible. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's permissible. This is the one name that's permissible, Abd al-Muttalib. But that position is not correct. The proof that they use is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أنا النبي لا كذب أنا ابن عبد المطلب. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said at one time, he said, I am the Prophet, no lie, and I am the son of Abd al-Muttalib. I am the son of Abd al-Muttalib. So some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirmed this and allowed this, then it's permissible. Then it's permissible. And likewise, Abd al-Muttalib, what was intended here is not the slavery of worship, but rather the slavery of servitude. And they thought that that he was the slave of al-Muttalib, and he was not. And he was not, Shaybut al-Hamd, he was not the slave of al-Muttalib. But what is correct is that it's not permissible. And no name, the saying Abd, so-and-so, and such, to anything other than the names of Allah Azza wa Jal is haram and not permissible, even Abd al-Muttalib. And what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to was something that has preceded. And this is a name of his forefathers. And the names of the forefathers and those who have passed, they're not changed. A person who is alive, if he had a name that is foul and a name that was incorrect, then he would be ordered to change his name. But if somebody had died and the ancestors had preceded, then their names are not changed. And even also in the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abd Manaf, also from his grandfathers, Ibn Abd Manaf, and the likes like this. So this is also well known, and also from the tribesmen of Quraysh and the brothers of Abd Manaf, Abd Shams, and these are all names that are in the lineage of of Quraysh, Abd al-Manaf and Abd al-Shams and the like cite this, Abd al-Dar, and they didn't change those names because those were from the names of those who had preceded, those who had died. So their names are mentioned like that. Not affirming that that name is proper, but that's how their name was. They lived and they died upon that, and that is their lineage. So therefore, that is kept in that manner. So there's no proof there for the permissibility of someone naming their child or themselves Abd al-Muttalib. So the point is that it's not allowed to call someone or to name someone the name of the slave of such and such, except for one of the names of Allah Azza wa Jal. Abdullah, or Abdul Rahman, or Abdul Rahim, or Abdul Karim, Abdul Wahhab, Abdul Qadir, and the likes like this. All of these names from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of this is allowed. All of this is allowed. As for Abdul Nabi, or like, and the likes like this, or Abdul Kaaba, and so on and so forth, like some of the ignorant and the foolish and the misguided, they will do, all of this is impermissible and not allowed. All of this is impermissible and not allowed, even if they didn't intend the ubudiyyah of ibadah, even if they didn't intend servitude and worship, even if they didn't intend the worship, this is still not allowed. So the author, he says, وَعَنِ ابْنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا فِي الْآيَةِ. And Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhumah, he mentioned about the interpretation of this verse. قَالَ لَمَّ تَغَشَاهَا آدَمْ حَمَلَتْ فَأَتَاهُمَا إِبْلِيسِ فَقَالَ إِنِّي صَاحِبُكُمَا الَّذِي أَخْرَجْتُكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ لَتُطِعُنِّي أَوْ لَأَجْعَلَنَّ لَهُ قَرْنَيْ أَيْلِ. So Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhumah, he mentioned the interpretation of this verse, and he said that whenever Adam had relations with Hawa, Iblis, he came to them and he said that, verily I am the one who had taken you out of the Jannah. I am the one who had exiled you from the Jannah, and indeed you're going to obey me. So he said, indeed you're going to obey me, or else I'm going to make him have two horns like a deer. Or else I'm going to make him, meaning the child, have two horns like a deer. فَيَخْرُجُ مِن بَطْنِكِ فَيُشُكُهُ. And it's going to come out of your belly and rip it apart. And this is what he said to them. I will cause the child to have horns, and it will come out of your stomach in this manner, and tear it apart. وَلَا أَفْعَلَنَّ يُخَوِفُهُمَا. And he said that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that to you, and he is trying to make them fear. سَمِّيَاهُ عَبْدِ الْحَارِثِ. So he said, Iblis la'anahu Allah to Adam and Hawa to name him Abd al-Harith. Abd al-Harith. It's mentioned that al-Harith, that this is the name of Iblis himself. So he wanted them to name the child Abd al-Harith, yani the slave of him. فَأَبَيَا أَنْ يُطِعَاهُ فَخَرَجَ مَيِّتًا ثُمَّ حَمَلَتْ فَأَتَاهُمَا فَقَالَ مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِ فَأَبَيَا أَنْ يُطِعَاهُ فَخَرَجَ مَيِّتًا ثُمَّ حَمَلَتْ فَأَتَاهُمَا فَذَكَرَ لَهُمَا فَأَدْرَكَهُمَا حُبُّ الْوَلَدْ فَسَمَّيَاهُ عَبْدِ الْحَارِثِ فَسَمَّيَاهُ عَبْدِ الْحَارِثِ. So then Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentions that they refused to obey Shaytan, and they refused to listen to him. So the child was born and it came out dead. And then after that, she became pregnant again. She became pregnant again, and then Iblis came to them again, and he said the same thing to them, and they refused to listen to him and to obey him, and that child likewise came out dead. And this here is a trial and a test from Allah. This here is a trial and a test from Allah in this manner. And then she became pregnant again, and so he came to them another time, and he reminded them and mentioned to them the same thing. And then at this time, they were overcome by the love and the hope for a child, so they named him Abd al-Harith. فَذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ جَعَلَ لَهُ شُرَكَاءَ فِي مَا آتَاهُمَا رَوَهُ وَبْنُ أَبِي حَاتِمٍ. So he says, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا, this is the meaning or the interpretation of the statement that they had set up partners with Allah in that which he had provided for them. And this narration is narrated by Ibn Abi Hatim. Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Hatim, he died in the year 327. He has a tafsir. He has a great tafsir, or a tafsir al-Musnad, where he mentions the explanations and the interpretation of the verses of Allah, the chains of narration, with narrations, with his chain and to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to the companions and to the tabi'een. So the author, he says, now wallahu bi sanadin sahih and qatadata qal shuraka'a fi ta'atihi wa lam yakun fi ibadatihi. And also Ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah, in his tafsir, he had mentioned with an authentic chain of narration to Qatada. Qatada ibn Di'ama al-Sudusi rahimahullah. He is from the great scholars of the Tabi'in and the students of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. He died in the year 117. He said the meaning of this, that they set up partners, associates with Allah, shuraka'a fi ta'atihi wa lam yakun fi ibadatihi, that it was partnership, or they were partners in obedience and not partners in worship. And that is what is intended here, that they had partners in obedience, not partners in worship. And again, it's not worship. It was not considered worship. Set up partners in obedience, not the obedience of that which has proceeded in the likes of this work that we studied, and obeying the rulers and the likes like this. This was with regards to declaring something halal that is haram, something that is haram that is halal, that has proceeded. As for what is intended here, is obeying someone in the disobedience of Allah, and that likewise had proceeded in the clarification of that chapter, and that is considered disobedience and not shirk. So there's type of obedience. Whenever one, he obey the people, obey the rulers, obey the scholars, and declaring that which is halal to be haram, or that which is haram to be halal, while they know in this time they had taken them as lords besides Allah. And this is major shirk. But if someone were to order somebody, for example, to do something haram, and they listened to them and did that, this is not shirk. This is disobedience. This is an action of disobedience. If somebody said to, for example, go buy him some alcohol. Go buy him some alcohol. For example, a father, a corrupt father or a disbelieving father, told a Muslim child, go buy him some alcohol. And he did what his father said. This is not considered shirk. Although there's a type of associationship there, the fact that he obeyed the father and the disobedience of Allah. We had taken this previously likewise. And knowledge is like that. One portion builds and is based upon the next. So it's very important to recollect and to remember and to review, that from one aspect, every action of disobedience is a type of shirk. Not shirk akbar, not shirk asgar, but it's similar to shirk. It has a type of partnership from the aspect of obeying either the soul that commands evil, or the desires, or the devil, any of the devil from the jinn and from mankind. They call to disobey Allah. So if a person, he were to listen to these affairs and to obey them, then this is proceeding from this issue here. It's a type of tashriq. It's a type of a partner here, and giving a part of that obedience to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Although it's not considered shirk, it's not considered major shirk, it's not considered minor shirk, but it's proceeding from here and it has a resemblance. So whenever a person, he disobeys Allah, it's because his soul is calling him to that. So he obeyed his soul in disobedience to Allah. Whenever a person, he shows preference to his whims and his desires and his lusts, and he follows his desires in disobedience to Allah, now he's giving obedience to his soul. Whenever the devil whispers to him and calls to him and suggests to him to disobey Allah, and he follows that, then he has turned away from the obedience of Allah and obeyed the shaitan. So there's a type of associationship going on here. There's a type of partnership going on here in every action of disobedience. A person, whenever he disobeys Allah, he's only obeying his soul. Or he's obeying his desires, or he's obeying the devil. So here he's supposed to give his obedience to Allah, but instead he gave it to the devil, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. He gave it to his desires, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Or gave it to his soul, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So there's a type of tashriq here. We understand that point. Huh? It's not shirk. You wouldn't call him and say that he made shirk. You wouldn't say that any to disobey Allah and to, for example, to commit fornication, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. The person, he's following his desires. The person who falls into fornication and he knows that it's impermissible, he's following his desires. So instead of obeying Allah, he obeyed his desires. He showed a preference to the command of his whims and his desires and his lusts. So from this aspect, the fact that he obeyed his desires in contradiction to the obedience of Allah, this is like he's making a partner there. And he's like, there's like, instead of obeying Allah, he obeyed his whims. He obeyed his whims. So this is what is being intended here. Not shirk akbar, not shirk asgar, but here this type of shirk in obedience. Instead of obeying Allah, they obeyed the shaitan. Not worshipping him, not believing in him like this, but in obedience. He said, call him this. So they called him that, like this. Call him Abdul Harith. So they called him Abdul Harith in this manner, like this. It's been mentioned that even they possibly were unaware that this name is impermissible, that this name is impermissible. And Allah knows best. So this is what Qatada rahimahullah is interpreting this to mean, that they did not make shirk with Allah and worship by naming the child that name. It was only that they obeyed him. So meaning they disobeyed Allah. So what happened here is Adam and Hawa, according to this interpretation, disobeyed Allah. And that's why it has been narrated that Adam, he was deceived by Shaytan two times. The first time with regards to the tree, and the second time and this issue here. And all of this is according to the interpretation that the author has mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala. After this, he says, وَلَهُ بِسَنَدٍ صَحِيحٍ عَنْ مُجَاهِدٍ فِي قَوْلِهِ لَإِنْ أَتَيْتَنَا صَالِحًا قَالَ أَشْفَقَا أَلَّا يَكُونَ إِنسَانٍ وَذَكَرَ مَعْنَاهُ عَنَ الْحَسَنِ وَسَعِيدٍ وَغَيْرِهِمَا. So likewise, Ibn Abi Hatim, rahimahullah, he mentioned with an authentic chain to Mujahid, Mujahid ibn Jabr. He died in the year 104. Likewise, from the great scholars of the Tabi'een, and he's from the greatest student of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Then, with regards to that statement, in atayna salihan, if you give us a righteous child, that at this time, and the reason why they supplicated in this manner whenever she became pregnant is because they thought that the child would come out and not be a human being. They thought that would come out and it would be an animal, or that would be any disfigured and the likes like this. So they were afraid that it would come and it would not be a child. And also it has been mentioned similar to this from Al-Hassan Yani Al-Basri. He died in 110. Also from the great scholars of the Tabi'een and Sa'id. Sa'id wa ghayrihima. Wallahu alam, Sa'id is more than likely Sa'id ibn Jubair. Wallahu alam, or Sa'id ibn Al-Musayyib. Both of them are from the Tabi'een. But from those who are more well known for tafsir is Sa'id ibn Jubair, and Allah knows best. Sa'id ibn Jubair, he died in the year 95, and Ibn Al-Musayyib in the year 94. In the year 94, taqriban, and Allah knows best. From the great scholars of the Tabi'een. So this is the interpretation that the author, he has mentioned. And that these verses here, they're referring to Adam and Hawa all the way, this whole context. But there is another interpretation. The people of knowledge, they have differed about this affair. But the majority of the Salaf and the majority of the scholars of Hadith, they have all mentioned this interpretation from the early generations. And Muhammad ibn Jirir al-Tabari, he died in the year 310 from the great scholars of Tafsir. And likewise of Hadith and of history and of the Arabic language. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this. That this is the interpretation, the majority of the scholars of the Salaf, they have mentioned and they have clarified. But there is another position, and that is that the first context is with regards to Adam and Hawa. And then after that, the context changed. And what is being referred to are two of the children, from the children of Adam later. And it's not Adam and Hawa that is being referred to. So in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها ليسكن إليها. That this is with regards to Adam and Hawa. It is Allah who has created you from one soul and has made from that soul a spouse in order to reside and to find stability and tranquility and peace with. Then after that, the context changed. After that context, the context changed, and now it starts to refer to two people, a man and a woman, from the children of Adam. And this is the position of Ibn Kathir, and also of many of of the scholars even before that. In Muhammad ibn Jarir, again, he died in 310, he mentioned this position as well. So this is the second position with regards to the interpretation of this verse. Now the context changes, and the pronouns are referring not to Adam and Hawa, but rather the pronoun is referring to a man and a woman from the children of Adam and Hawa, to the man and a woman from those who had fallen into shirk, from the children of Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam. So then whenever Allah, he says, فَلَمَّا تَغَشَّاهَا حَمَلَتْ حَمْلًا خَفِيفًا فَمَرَّتْ بِهِ فَلَمَّا أَثْقَلَتْ دَعَوَ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُمَ لَئِنْ آتَيْتَنَا صَالِحًا لَنَكُنَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمَا صَالِحًا جَعَلَ لَهُ شُرَكَاءَ فِي مَا آتَاهُمَا فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. And then now whenever he had relations with her and she became pregnant, yani bearing the light load. This is in reference to a man and a woman from the children of Adam, and not Adam himself and Hawa alayhim salatu wasalam. And then the time passed, and then it became heavy, the load became heavy, and they called on their Lord. They called on Allah, their Lord, that if He provides for them a healthy, righteous child, then they will be thankful. And then whenever Allah provided for them a righteous child or a healthy child, a healthy and righteous child, then they set up rivals and partners with Allah in that which He had given them. And high and lofty is Allah above that which they associate partners with Him in. And even in the end, the pronoun now turns to plural. فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. It turns to plural. And even not referring to Adam and Hawa alayhim salatu wasalam, but rather referring to those pagans and polytheists. So this is another interpretation of this verse. And also those who have mentioned this interpretation from them, Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, and they have mentioned that the narration of Ibn Abbas is weak. So this is another interpretation of that verse, and that those who committed shirk, they were not Adam and Hawa, or that's being referred to here. And they mentioned that this is something that they are free from, that they are free from and they will never fall into, and that they are safe from, and the likes like this, and Allah knows best. But again, even those who interpreted this verse to mean Adam and Hawa, they say that what is being referred to here, the shirk, is not shirk in ibadah, it's shirk in ta'ah. Shirk in ta'ah, meaning they disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal. But Allah, He called it shirk in this manner. But Allah, He called it shirk in this manner, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. So the author, he says, فِيهِ مَسَائِلَ أُولَى تَحْرِيمُ كُلْ إِسْمٍ مُعَبَّدًا لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. This is the point of mentioning this issue here. So whether this narration is affirmed or not, then it's agreed upon and well known, as Ibn Hazm, he mentioned. Ibn Hazm also, he is from those scholars who are well-rounded, and he was from those well-rounded in fiqh, and specifically with regards to the differences of opinions of the scholars. He has a book called Al-Muhalla, and he has a book called Maratib al-Ijma', and he was very well versed with regards to the differences of opinions of the scholars in the issues of fiqh and the likes like that. He was well aware of these affairs, and likewise where they had consensuses. So he mentioned there's a consensus, and he died in 456. There's a consensus that it's not allowed to have the name Abd along with anything from the names other than Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the point of the chapter. Al-Ula tahrimu kull ismin mu'abbadan li ghayrillah. The first point, or the first issue, that it's impermissible to every name that it has the name Abd for other than Allah is not allowed, and it is impermissible. Al-Thaniya tafsir al-ayat. The second benefit here is interpretation of that verse in Surah Al-A'raf. Any of the interpretation according to this meaning. As for the second interpretation, then we've seen that it's not referring to Adam and Hawa, and Allah knows best. الثالثة أن هذا الشرك في مجرد تسمية لم تقصد حقيقتها. That this shirk here that occurred was simply in the name only, and it's not intended the reality of that. Meaning they did not. And again, according to the interpretation mentioned, they did not intend that their child would be the slave for Al-Harith. They only intended that it is a name. They only intended that it's a name. It's a name. They didn't intend that he would be a slave to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And upon this interpretation, Al-Rabi'ah, أن هبة الله للرجل البنت السوية من النعم. The fourth issue here is that the fact that Allah will provide a man with a upright and healthy daughter is from the bounties. It's from the blessings and bounties. We see in the story that is mentioned that they were provided with a male. But here the author, he's mentioning a female. In the text here that the author mentioned, rahimahullah, they are provided with a healthy boy, a healthy male child. But the Shaykh is saying here that the fact that Allah provides a man with a healthy female child is from the blessings and bounties. Why didn't he mention male? Why did he mention female? Huh? If the female is the blessing, the male has more right to be a blessing likewise. MashaAllah. No, sahih. The people of Najd mentioned sometimes the daughters are better, are a greater blessing because they're more merciful and more kind. And sometimes the boys are disobedient. But it's in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. So alhamdulillah, no doubt, to have a boy is a great favor and a great blessing. But likewise, the Shaykh is saying, also to have a girl. And this is because of the foul creed that they had in Jahiliyyah, and likewise even they had it in the time of the Shaykh. Maybe it was not so severe, and even maybe sometimes till today some people might have that, and they would think that having a daughter is blameworthy, and they would dislike the daughters and the likes like this, and they will be hoping for a male, they'll be hoping for a boy and hoping for a boy, and if they get a daughter they'll be sad, or they would dislike that, or they would be upset and the likes like this, and they would consider it a disgrace. So this is something well known in the times of Jahiliyyah. The people of knowledge mentioned that even later, even in the time of the Shaykh, there were still people who had a dislike to have girls. And even today, sometimes there are people who are still like that. They have a dislike to have girls. So the Shaykh is clarifying that likewise, to have a girl is a blessing. So no doubt to have boys, alhamdulillah, this is a blessing. To have healthy and righteous boys, this is a great blessing. But also, along with that, to have a healthy and righteous daughter also is a blessing. Also is a blessing. So, الخامسة, ذكر السلفي الفرق بين الشرك في الطاعة والشرك في العبادة. The fifth issue here is the mention of the Salaf, the difference between making shirk in the obedience and shirk in ibadah. Shirk in obedience and shirk in ibadah. Again, the shirk in obedience he's talking about here is not that which has preceded in the previous chapter about obeying the scholars and obeying the rulers. In that chapter is with regards to declaring halal and haram and legislating in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as for this here, this is obeying the desires and obeying the devil and the likes like this in disobedience to Allah. So the Salaf, they differentiated between that. And even some of them, they mentioned that this was a type of shirk. That this was a type of shirk. So from that aspect, yani from the fact that he disobeyed Allah and obeyed Allah, they considered this an aspect of shirk. Although it would not fall under shirk akbar or shirk asgar and the likes like this, but there's a type of shirk there. It's proceeding from that affair. It's proceeding from shirk. Disobedience is proceeding from disbelief. The source of the person that disobeys Allah is proceeding from disbelief. It's proceeding from associating partners with Allah. But it's not of that level and severity, but this is the case here. And likewise, the people of knowledge, they say that al-kufr barid al-ma'asiyah barid al-kufr. That disobedience is the pathway to disbelief. And it proceeds from there. It's a branch from that. So just as al-Iman, it has a foundation and it has branches. Likewise, shirk, it has fundamentals and it has branches. And likewise, disbelief, it has branches. It has branches. So all actions of disobedience, they stem from disbelief. All actions of disobedience, they stem from shirk. So this is from the branches and from the stems. That which stems from shirk, yani, is to obey one's soul in disobedience to Allah, to obey one's desires in disobedience to Allah, to obey the devil and the shayateen, waliyadhu billah, and his foul call in disobedience to Allah. So this is what is intended here, and Allah knows best. Again, the point of the chapter is to clarify that it's not allowed to name anyone or to call anyone abd fulan, other than the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. It must be, if you're going to choose this type of name, Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, Abdul Rahim, Abdul Kareem, Abdul Wahhab, Abdul Qadir, like this, all any one of the names of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the people of Nahr, as they mention from them, Shaykhuna Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhayri, Hafidhullah, that these names, al-Asma al-Mu'abbada, the names that have the word Abd in them, there are three types. One of them is very clear that it's halal and permissible and good. And that's the one that has the name Abd, and after that, one of the names of Allah. Like that has proceeded. Abdullah, for example, Abdul Rahman, Abdul Wahhab. These names here, this is very clear. This is halal and this is good. On the other hand, on the contrary, is a name other than the name of Allah, like Abdul Ka'ba, or Abd al-Shams, or Abd al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like this. Any a name other than Allah. This is very clear that there's a consensus from the early generations, this is haram and impermissible. This is haram and impermissible. If somebody had that name now, it would be obligatory to change it. If somebody had that name now, it would be obligatory to change it. If somebody had that name in his lineage, for example, his name is Abdullah, Ibn Abdul Karim, Ibn Abdul Rahman, Ibn Abdul Wahhab, Ibn Abdul Nabi, like this, all the way back in his lineage.
That's happening in Yemen.
Okay, now does he have to change his lineage?
He can't change the lineage.
No, you can't change. You don't change the lineage. This one here is called Hikayah. You just mentioned the name of his. That's his name. That's how he lived and that's how he died. So you leave that one. The one who lived upon that name and died upon that name, you don't change it. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his lineage, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib, ibn Hashim, ibn Abd al-Manaf. So this is, yani, even in the Prophet's lineage, there are names of individuals that are mu'abbada li ghayrillah, like Abd al-Muttalib, like Abd al-Manaf. He didn't change them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't change them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is, he just mentioned them. This is mentioning from the aspect of mentioning the names and like that. That was their name. So here he wouldn't have to change that part of his name. As for somebody who came along right now, he said, what is your name? He said, Abd al-Nabi. He said, la hadha haram. هذا حرام لا أنت عبد الله أنت عبد الرحمن like this not عبد النبي he would change his name. We understand the difference. Then he mentioned Hafidhullah that there's another category of names, and that is like names that could be unclear. For example, عبد السيد. Abdul Sayyid, As-Sayyid, Allah huwa As-Sayyid, from the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, As-Sayyid. But also some of the people who are attached to the graves, they consider the wali or the grave the Sayyid. So if somebody came in now and we said, what is your name? He said, Abdul Sayyid. Many people, they'll be like, As-Sayyid, oh, that's haram. And the first thing that will come to their mind is the grave or the wali and the likes like this. Because that's what many of them, they do. They call the grave the Sayyid. Sayyidi, like this, Sayyidi, Sayyidi, and the likes like this. So then this one, there's a possibility that he means that or means this. So therefore it's better the one, he will not use that name. He will not name his child that name. He'll pick a different name. If the person had that name, we'll ask him, what do you mean? Abdul Sayyid, who is the Sayyid that you're talking about? If he said Allah, he said, okay, that's good, but you should change your name anyways, because now there's kind of, it's downfall. It's downfall. Many people might have the wrong thoughts about you, like this. And then, so this is the case. Likewise, Abdul Wali. Abdul Al-Wali. Allah, who is the Al-Wali? That's from the beautiful names of Allah, likewise, Al-Wali. But many people, if they have that name, Abdul Wali, and they're talking about the Wali so-and-so. The Wali so-and-so. The Al-Wali Bedawi, for example, or Wali so-and-so. So when you say Abdul Wali, what do you mean Abdul Wali? He's Abdul Wali, you know, so-and-so, and in Egypt, or so-and-so in this country, or so-and-so in that country, in Africa, so-and-so, the Wali. And that's what he means. Other people, maybe you say, what do you mean, Abdul Wali? He said, Abdul Wali, Allah, Al-Wali. So now, you shouldn't name the child that. You shouldn't name the child that. If somebody had that name, again, he'll be asked, what do you mean by that? If he said, I mean Allah, from the names of Allah, Al-Wali. Sheikh Sulaiman, he mentioned, you should still ask him to change the name. It's better for him to change that name. To change that name so that it wouldn't be any mixed up in this manner like this. And then if he intended other than that, then the awali from the so-called awliya that they worship besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, no doubt he'll be ordered to change the name. Again, a person has to be concerned with his creed and with his tawheed, and learning the aspects of that and the details of that, and the everything that brings deficiency to that. And from the greatest means of this is to study the likes of these works, where the verses of Allah are mentioned, and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are mentioned, and the narrations of the scholars of the tabi'een and the scholars of hadith rahimahum Allah are mentioned. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.